Well, I tell you what, I just don't want to hear any more of that doctrine. And what they're literally saying is, I don't want to be taught. I want to stay just like I am. That's exactly what they're saying. Because all the word didaskalos means for doctrine, teaching. We're going to talk a little bit about doctrines of milk and of meat. When I first came here, I was not capable of preaching about anything except milk. So I majored in preaching about milk and minored in preaching about meat. In Hebrews 5, 13 and 14, we're told, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." I think all of us better get used to the fact that when we first get saved, we're a babe in Christ. And we better get used to the fact that unless we're interested in what God has to say, and unless we want to be taught, and unless we want to apply the teaching, that's exactly what we're going to stay, babes in Christ. And babes in Christ are just like physical babes. They cry, they whimper, they want their own way, they're childish, they're immature, and they just can't seem to get along with other children. They're always trying to take their toys, and it's mine. Well, the same thing is true in the spiritual world. Hebrews 5:14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." In other words, they've grown up spiritually. "Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." To have your senses exercised means to let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. To grow up spiritually means to have a change in your spiritual mind that lends more toward maturity than the childish things that you first thought were Christianity when you first got saved. Our churches are filled with babes in Christ who don't want any doctrine. They like themselves just the way they are, because that way they can keep all their self-centered, self-loving desires, play at church, come and meet, sing, worship God, and go home and never see any spiritual change in their life whatsoever. Babes like to stay babes. They don't like to grow up, because when you grow up, you have to work, you have to be responsible, and the world is not all that pleasant to deal in. So some people just like to stay babes in Christ. That way they can maintain their relationship with all their friends in the world. They can listen to dirty jokes. They can move about in the world and be accepted, because if they were arrested for being a Christian, they'd be acquitted for lack of evidence. So they can maneuver in the world and try to serve mammon as long as they don't grow up spiritually. Well, Hebrews 5, 13 and 14 are the last two verses in the fifth chapter of Hebrews. And so very quickly he defines what milk is. And there are some people in our churches that think these things are deep, dark doctrine. And they're not. They're milk. See that therefore in verse 6? Leads you back to what he's talking about in verse 14. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. We're going to talk about what the doctrine of Christ is. It doesn't mean leaving it and abandoning it and never talking about it again. In a moment, we're going to talk about what the doctrine of Christ is. It means building up on it. Christ's teachings came. He taught us who he was. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." He went forth and taught all nations. He sent us to do the same. When you figure out who Jesus Christ is and you figure out who you are, a sinner, and you need him, you come to him and you get saved. But once you get saved, he's not telling you to leave and forget it. He's telling you start to build on now what God has made you. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection. Let's grow up. Let's quit being spiritual babes in Christ. Not laying again the foundation of. Well, what's he talking about? The foundation of the doctrine of Christ. What is the doctrine of Christ? Repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. What was it that Paul did every time he went into a home or every time he witnessed? He tells us in Hebrews, and he tells us in Acts 20:21. He said, testifying both to Jew and Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you got saved and you had that spiritual experience where you trusted in Jesus to save you, suddenly you became a babe in Christ. Christ came to live in you, and now he says, okay, now you've got that doctrine straight. You've got that teaching straight. Now you're saved. He said, now build on it and go on to perfection. He's not talking about living above sin. He's talking about Christian maturity, where you learn to deal with the faith, learn to deal with what you are, and learn what God thinks is important, and shuckle off those things that you thought were so all-fired important in the world, and come to realize that the only thing that's important that lasts is what God says is important in his word. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. Paul said he taught repentance from dead works and faith toward God. He said, preaching and teaching, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But now he lists some other things that are milk of the doctrine of baptism. What is he talking about? Well, there was the baptism of John. That was one. There was the baptism of the church. That was another. Did you notice that when the church up in Samaria, after they had been saved, and then they were baptized, then they sent two from the church at Jerusalem, and they laid hands on them. When they laid hands on them, the Spirit immersed the whole body. Baptism in the Holy Spirit was never individual. It's always on a body. It's always on a church. So that's a form of baptism. It's a spiritual baptism, immersion of a local church. Did you notice when Paul went up to Ephesus and he discovered a bunch of people there that had John's baptism? But the problem was John had died. Jesus had already come. And John's baptism wasn't good anymore. And so Paul had to rebaptize them. Did you notice that when they laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came down and immersed them? He immersed the whole church. See, baptism in the Holy Spirit is over a local body. It's over a church. But did you notice when they went to the house of the Gentiles, the house of Cornelius, which was an all-Gentile church, then did you notice there that when they got there, they didn't lay hands on them? Why? A Jew would never have laid hands on a Gentile. Never, 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 never. Never, never, never. God had to send a vision to Peter. God had to open the door, and God had to make it visible to those Israelites. Look, I'm opening the church, local and visible, to both Jew and Gentile. That's why the Holy Spirit came down on them first, so that the Jews, who would never have given them authority otherwise to be a church, would say yes when Peter turned around and said, "Can any forbid water that they should not be baptized even as we?" That's why he did it that way, and that's the only way he did it that way, because there was a laying on of hands by the local church that signified approval that God gave from one local church to another. You see, but that's milk. That's milk. I learned that in school a long time ago. That's milk. And the resurrection of the dead. I preach about the second coming of Christ all the time, how the dead are going to be resurrected, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. That's milk. And of eternal judgment. I teach continually about the judgment seat of Christ. So do all other missionary Baptist preachers. But that's milk. That's milk. That's not meat. Why do I know that? Because he said back up here what milk was. And then he tells you what it is. And I know it's what he says. And this will we do if God permits. He said, if God will permit. It's the same thing as saying, Lord willing. It means if God gives me life, if we live, and if Christ doesn't come right away, and if we still live in these bodies, we're going to do this. We're going to go on. We're going to go to maturity. How do you do it? There's a doctrine of Christ in here. There's a doctrine of baptism. There's a doctrine of laying on of hands. There's a doctrine of the resurrection. There's a doctrine of eternal judgment. These are doctrines of milk, all of them. Well, what is meat? Doctrines of meat. What the church really is. Do you know that about probably 98% of the people in the so-called Christian world have no idea what the church is? Why? Because it's meat. And the church is local and visible. And God always meant for everybody to make a commitment to it, but nobody wants to make a commitment. People want to keep their own certain freedoms to themselves. They don't want to commit to Christ. There's a doctrine of meat. That's the church. That's why in our churches today, that's why Southern Baptists now, generally, all of them, believe the church is universal and visible. That's a lie. That's not the truth. It's a doctrine. That's why they can't receive it. It's meat. They want to stay infantile babes in Christ. The Lord's Supper. Back in the 1800s, all Baptist churches took the Lord's Supper as closed communion. What happened? Did we get some new revelation? No. They broke away from it because it's meat. It's a fellowship with God. When you come together with the Lord's Supper as a local church, it's a fellowship with God of the entire local body of Christ. They don't want that sort of thing. Rewards. You start preaching about, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Start trying to get people to serve because of the promises of God that are future that he's given to them. Start trying to get them to serve and realize in Hebrews 11 and 1, for faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Then he's talking about this great city, three-fifths the size of the United States. They don't want to hear that in Southern Baptist churches. I know. They think I'm crazy. Because it's meat. But what is meat? Well, 2 Peter 1, 2 through 9 is meat. I've been through this many times. You know it backwards, forwards, and sideways. So what's the problem with people that only have milk? They don't have a very good knowledge of the Lord. They don't have much grace and peace. I have salvation by grace through faith. I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what's this be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God? The more you understand about the meat of God and the things of God and of Jesus Christ the Lord, the more you're going to understand what spiritual growth is and the more mature you're going to become in Christ. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's meat. God calls you to glory and virtue. I can teach a parrot to say salvation by grace, secure the believer, baptism by immersion, by the authority of the local church, the Lord's Supper is opposed to aren't the church. The church is local and visible. I can teach a parrot to say that. But God wants you to build on that. Many people won't build on it. So how do you build on it? What is a doctrine that you use to build on? Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. People don't want these precious promises of the future. They want everything from God right now. Counsel me right now, Lord, and help me get things straight. Do this for me, Lord. Provide this for me. Cure me of my cancer. Do this for me, Lord. Do this for me. Well, that's all understandable, and I'm not knocking that. And certainly if I was sick, I'd pray about it. We have a prayer request list. I believe in prayer. I believe God hears these prayers. I believe God honors these prayers. But why in the Sam Hill aren't we interested in spiritual things? The spiritual things are the great and precious promises, the future. Because we're just interested in what we can get in the flesh right now. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Aha. That's what meat is. To be a partaker of the divine nature. It wasn't hard for me to learn what the church was. It wasn't hard for me to learn what the Lord's Supper should be. And these things were fairly easy for me to learn and accept and believe, and I do. And they are doctrines, and they are extremely important. Now let's build something on this thing we call the church, which is the local body of Christ, and he is the foundation of it. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, that past tense. It means these people had been saved in the past, and they had escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. They're not going to hell. Now he says, here's what I want you to do. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. That's the doctrine of virtue. It's a teaching. It's a doctrine. It's meat. You know what it means? It's the God-given spiritual indwelling that you have that teaches you what virtue is. It means the desire to do what's right. Do I have to tell you if you're saved by faith, you need to be baptized? No, the Holy Spirit's been telling you for a long time. Because that's what it means to do what's right. It's right that after you get saved, you get baptized. You say, can you prove that? Well, Peter was baptized. Paul was baptized. Jesus was baptized. Every one of the New Testament church members was baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. You know the only man that wasn't baptized? The thief on the cross. He's got an excuse. He couldn't get off of it. But you don't have one. It's because you're not practicing the doctrine of virtue and the virtue of knowledge. There's a doctrine of knowledge. That's what this is all about, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. To understand what is virtuous, what is not virtuous. It is not virtuous to fail to obey the commandments of God once you understand what they are. It's right to be baptized. It's wrong not to. Where did I get that knowledge? From the Word of God. But it's not just baptism. It's a lot of other things. It's wrong to observe the Lord's Supper, open communion. Why? I have a desire to do right. I got the knowledge from the Bible. It's wrong to practice open communion. It's closed communion. And the knowledge? Temperance. Get control of yourself. Well, what do you need to get control of yourself is? Once the knowledge that you obtain from God teaches you what's right and wrong and what the desire to do right, then it's wrong to do those things that you do. You get home and mistreat your family. You mistreat your wife. You mistreat your husband. You're a little whining. All you do is whine all the time. You just want all the attention. You just got to have all the recognition. People just don't understand you. Do you feel sorry for yourself all the time? You never have gained control of yourself and what you are. Listen, you're a child of the King. Temperance means to gain control. So start gaining control of yourself and do what's right. You've got the knowledge. Now, control that flesh. Your flesh doesn't want you to be baptized. Your flesh doesn't want you in that baptistry. Because it's the will of God that you be scripturally baptized. But your flesh doesn't want it. And so he convinces you that that's right. But the Bible, the knowledge that God gives you, there's a doctrine of temperance. There's a doctrine of virtue. There's a doctrine of knowledge. There's a doctrine of patience. And the temperance, patience, there's a doctrine of patience. What is it? What have I taught you here for 26 years? Even when I was a babe in Christ, when I came here, I taught you endurance. That's what patience means, endurance. Be faithful in church. Get up and come to church. Don't quit coming to church. Don't give up. Once you gain this knowledge of these great and precious promised things, and you want to do right, and you've gone ahead and submitted to baptism, and you're getting control of yourself, then don't quit coming and worshiping God. Keep on going. That's a doctrine of patience. That's a teaching of the Bible. That's meat. You say, how do you know it's meat? because very few people do it. Very few people do it. So it can't be milk. I can get people to do all kinds of things involving milk that are saved, but I can't get them to be faithful and enduring God's local church and to patience godliness. There's a doctrine of godliness. How did I learn virtue, the doctrine of virtue? Well, knowledge. The doctrine of knowledge taught me what to do. I knew I was supposed to do what was right. God's Spirit taught me that. Knowledge gave me a knowledge of what God considered right and wrong. He taught me to gain control of myself. He is continuing to teach me to gain control of my flesh. I'll never live above sin, but I can be a better outward Christian. I can let what is inside come on the outside. That's spiritual growth. That's me. And a lot of you will never apply that to your lives, and a lot of you just won't do it. You run away from it. You hide from it. You shouldn't do that, because that's me, and most people don't want it. And the temperance, patience, endurance. Once you start and you know what's right and you start getting control, then don't quit coming to church because you don't like the commitment you've made. And the patience, godliness. The word is euscharistoi. It means worship rightly directed. It simply means this. I wanted to do what was right. God, through His Word, showed me how I should be baptized, and God showed me what the Lord's Supper was, and God showed me what the church was. Now I need to get control of myself. That's temperance. Now I need to endure in that local body, and I need to learn to worship God the way I'm supposed to be worshiping Him, in spirit and in truth. And all of these things are doctrines. There's a doctrine of godliness. Right now, all over this community, there are people meeting in church buildings, and they are not exercising godliness. They are not exercising euscharistoi. They are not worshiping God the way He wants to be worshiped. You've got to make your choice whether you want to please God, or you want to please mammon, or you want to please your wife, or you want to please your husband, or you want to please your children, or you want to please other friends. You've got to make up your mind. You can't please everybody. As long as you're pleasing God, He's the only one that really counts. And the godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, the doctrine of brotherly kindness. A person that understands what the church is, virtue, gains the knowledge of what's right and wrong. A person that's increasing in knowledge and comes to understand the importance of the church, he grows to love people. When I came here, you were just numbers to me. I was doing a job. A job God had called me to that I felt obligated to do because I knew I was called of God. But I actually, truly, honestly can say from my heart that I genuinely love you now. God's changed me. I genuinely care for you. Brother Bean, I actually love you. I pray for you. I care about you. I do that for everybody here. It isn't something that came easy. It's a doctrine. It's a teaching. You know who taught me? God. You know what He used? Brotherly kindness. I love you, Sister George. There's not a one of you here I don't care for. The people that aren't here this morning that should be here, I love them. I couldn't say that when I first came here. I just get irritated and mad at them all the time. And it was just my own personal frustration because I didn't have enough knowledge of what God wanted me to learn that I knew how to love people. Now I want people to come and worship God and take the Lord's Supper and be a part of this body and function in it and grow up in it and understand what God has to teach them. I do honestly have brotherly kindness. Not enough, but I have some. At least I understand now what it is. And to brotherly kindness, charity. There's a doctrine of love. And that's the ultimate doctrine. That means you've got to love church members that don't love you. I can't say I've mastered that. God has, but I haven't. Christ loved us and gave Himself for us when we were enemies to the cross. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is something God's trying to work out in me. That means just giving love, expecting nothing in return. It's hard for me not to be irritated with people who don't grow spiritually. It's hard to be irritated with me, for me not to be irritated with people who just don't understand. And it just breaks my heart, and instead of letting it break my heart and being overly concerned about it and praying for them, I get irritated. So I'm working on it. But there's a doctrine of charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's some things that are men things, some things that are women things. You ask my wife if I haven't changed in 26 years. If you had known me before God called me to preach, you wouldn't have liked me. You would have seen a man that was so self-centered, didn't care about anything but himself. He provided for his family everything they ever needed to eat or drink, but he never gave them any real love. He was so busy trying to conquer the world and achieve success for himself. He realized his moral responsibility, so he provided everything he needed for his family. But he wanted to be somebody that was somebody. Finally, God gave him everything he wanted, and he choked on it. And he realized when he finally got everything he wanted, he didn't have anything. God's been changing me for years. And he called me to preach. It was the kindest thing God ever did for me. Because when I had to study to show how smart I was to other people, and when my motivation was wrong in preaching the Word of God, I preached it correctly. But a strange thing happened. I began to understand from what I was preaching who I was and what I was. God changed me. The very things I was teaching to you that I was guilty of, I was the man who needed to have it preached to him. That's why I encourage people that are saved, if they can, to start trying to teach. You learn a lot more by teaching than you do by listening. And I thank God for that. Well, I'm not barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, man. Do you know what I want? I want to keep on learning more and more of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want that for you also. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. We got people on this church row, and you could name them off, some of you, that are in that boat. Well, I'm going to go back and preach a little milk to you this morning. It won't take long. We're going to talk about the doctrine of Christ. Remember what we said back here on this verse of Scripture? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That's milk. That's what makes you a babe in Christ. That's what gives you the new birth. So let's just look at the doctrine of Christ. What is the doctrine of Christ? Jesus is God's only Son. This is the doctrine of Christ. It has two points to it. Jesus is God's only Son. That's the teaching of Christ. That's the first milk of the gospel that a person receives and saves them. Number two, the offering of his sinless flesh on a cross was sufficient to eternally save us. That's the doctrine of Christ. Now, I can be friends with someone in a religion that doesn't observe the doctrine of the Lord's Supper correctly, or doesn't observe the doctrine of baptism correctly, or doesn't observe the doctrine of the church correctly. I can be friends with them. I don't mean bosom buddies and run all over town associating with them. And I don't mean I can particularly live with it. I don't mean I'm going to agree with them. I don't mean I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to try and convince them. But if they try to convince me, I'm not going to listen. Doesn't mean I can't have friends like that. But I tell you what, if they tamper with the doctrine of Christ, my advice to you is don't have anything to do with them. Be friendly and cordial with them, but do not become close bosom buddies with them. If they're your relatives, you have to be. But otherwise, don't make a habit of running around with people who don't teach and believe these two principles. The doctrine of Antichrist. This is the doctrine of Antichrist. You'll find it in the Bible. The doctrine of Antichrist is, one, he is not God's Son. R, that's a big R. R, two, his offering alone is not enough to save us. The world is filled with people in false religion that believes he's God's Son. But they do not believe his offering alone is enough to save us forever. That is the doctrine of Antichrist. It is of the devil. It is not of God, and don't have anything to do with it. We're going to take a look at 2 John 9-11. 2 John 9-11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now, you can mess around with these other doctrines. You can mess around with the Lord's Supper. You can mess around with baptism. You can mess around with all these other doctrines, and you can still go to heaven. But my friend, if you are not in the doctrine of Christ, if you do not teach the truth about Christ, then you don't have the Father and you don't have the Son. Those that say that he is God's Son, but those that say they believe in God but don't believe in Christ, that's the doctrine of Antichrist. Those that say Jesus died on the cross, but his sins weren't, his offering wasn't quite enough to save us, and we have to go to church, and we have to be baptized, and we have to do this. That's the doctrine of Antichrist. The doctrine of Antichrist is, one, he is not God's Son, or, if they teach, his offering alone is not enough to save us. That's the doctrine of Antichrist. 2 John 9-11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If you don't have a Son, you don't have the Father. You can have the Father, you think, but you really don't. But unless you have the Son, you don't have the Father. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. You decide what that means. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Does this mean if a person comes to your house and is lost, you shouldn't let him in? Absolutely not. Does it mean if a person comes to your house that's from a church that teaches the doctrine of Antichrist, that you shouldn't be friendly and cordial to him, that you shouldn't ever have him in your house or even speak to him? Absolutely not. But it means if he comes there to teach you this doctrine, don't let him in the house. Number 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Do not ask such a person into your house to teach you these things, because it is totally and completely and utterly wrong, because we're talking about the doctrine of Christ. Now let's talk about the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ, in order to mold us, God puts his Son in our bodies of clay. That's the new birth. In order to mold us, God puts his Son in our bodies of clay. You've seen these scriptures many, many times, but I want you to really take a look at them. They mean a lot more than most people think. We're talking about the Bible, and we're talking about a resurrected Son of God who's alive and who has the ability to quicken. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You must be born from above. It has to be a spiritual rebirth, and it has to be done by the Spirit of God. Well, how does he do it? John 6, 62, 63. Wherein if you shall see the Son of Man, ascend up where he was before. Well, Jesus isn't here physically anymore, but he's certainly here spiritually. Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If Jesus hadn't been resurrected from the dead, he hadn't come back to life, there's no way he could possibly quicken you. And if he hadn't left his words here for the Spirit to use to convict you of sin in your life and to come to Christ, you could never be saved. So the words that Christ spoke, their spirit, their life, they're still recorded. You can read them out of the Bible. You can hear them out of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. He quickens you. He makes you alive when you hear the word of God. Realize that he is the total propitiation for your sin, that he is alive, and you trust in him for your salvation. Now notice what he says to the church at Rome. In Romans 8, 9, 10, 14, and 15. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You've been born again. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You have to be born again. Christ has to live in you, or you do not belong to Christ or to God. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. God will not allow any sin you commit that is of the flesh to send you to hell, because you were crucified with Christ. You've been made dead to the penalty of sin that would have condemned you and sent you to hell. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. He quickens you. He keeps you alive. He protects you. He seals your heart, which is made up of your soul and your spirit, and he keeps you forever. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, he has to be in you to lead you, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What reason would we have to say, thank you, Father, that's what Abba means, if he gave us something and put us right back under the yoke of the law? This is what the Son does with the Word. He sets you free. You're not under the law anymore. You don't go back under the spirit of bondage. Once you get saved, you're saved forever. You don't have to go back under the law. You don't go back under the law and know that same yoke of bondage you came out from under, because God's Word has set you free, because it is the living Word of Christ. And we thank you, Father, thank you. Take a look at John 8, 31, 32, 36, 37. Here's a bunch of people that were under the bondage of the law, and they said they believed in the Son, but they were not spiritually regenerated because they didn't believe what the Son said. John 8, 31, 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. They weren't true believers. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They said they believed. Many people in many churches say they believe, but they don't believe the doctrine of Christ. If you believe that you have to add something to what Jesus did on that cross, you are violating the doctrine of Christ, and you're headed straight for hell. You cannot add or take away anything that Jesus did. That's the doctrine of Christ. And if any man comes to my house and tries to teach me otherwise, he or she is not welcome. and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I've been set free from the penalty of sin that would condemn me and sent me to hell. There's no sin I can commit in the flesh that would send me to hell now, because my flesh was crucified with Christ, and as far as God is concerned, it is dead to sin. Do I still sin in the flesh? Yes. What should I do? If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've been set free. I'm not going to hell. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36. If the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. How do I know these Jews up here in verse 32, which said, then said Jesus, those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. How do I know those Jews didn't believe? Look at verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Well, his word has a place in me. And the teaching of Christ, the doctrine of Christ is his word, and I know what the teaching and doctrine of Christ is. And because I know it, I do not violate the doctrine of Christ. I'm saved. I couldn't violate it if I wanted to. I would never want to, because it is a doctrine of freedom. And people who teach otherwise are not welcome in my home. This only would I learn of you. Galatians 3, 2 and 3. Do I have friends that I fellowship with and go? No. They don't want anything to do with me. Because when they start trying to teach me this false doctrine, I start showing them where it's wrong in the Scripture, and they shy away from me like water shies away from fire. Galatians 3, 2 and 3. Now, if you have any doubt in your mind about whether or not after you receive Christ's sacrifice as the total propitiation, the total price for all your sins, once you receive it, if you have any doubt that you have to add to it in order to be acceptable to God, Galatians 3, 2 and 3. This only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You can't add anything to what Jesus has done. You were made acceptable to God. You were made completely acceptable to God by his Son's sacrifice. That's the doctrine of Christ. That's the teaching of Christ. Anything other than that is the teaching of Antichrist. We're talking about milk. We're talking about the first principle. The doctrine of Christ is Jesus is God's only Son. The offering of his sinless flesh on a cross was sufficient to eternally save us. Anybody that doesn't believe that is in violation of the doctrine of Christ, and they are headed straight for hell. What they better do is get their life straight with God and recognize the importance of receiving Christ as the total price for our sins. Well, how do I know all this is true? Take a look at 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God was made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. How foolish, how childish, how immature, how ungodly it is to violate this doctrine of Christ. Here's the teaching and doctrine of Christ. But of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's the only wisdom I have, the only righteousness I have, the only sanctification I have, and the only redemption I have. That's the doctrine of Christ. Look, I can associate with and be friends with somebody that's a Church of Christ that's a Baptist preacher in a Southern Baptist church. I can be friends with them, even though they violate the supper of my Lord, even though they violate scriptural baptism. I can be cordial with them. I can talk to them. But I'm not going to run with them, and I'm not going to have a wild religious affair with them. I can be cordial with them. I can appreciate them for preaching the truth. But I will not have anything to do with somebody who violates the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, because they are sending people to hell. These other people that aren't teaching the truth about the doctrine of baptism, the doctrine of the church, the doctrine of the Lord's Supper, they are robbing people of God's reward, and they're robbing themselves of it. I hate it. I can't do anything about it, but I'm not going to write them off like Hindu untouchables. They do know my Savior. I just wish that God they'd come out of their era. 1 Corinthians 2:2. This is the doctrine of Christ we're talking about. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's the whole shooting match. When he said it is finished, it was over. And he told you in verse 5 why he did it, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, why did he write all this? 2 John 7-9, and I'm going to close with this. Folks, we're living in the last days. Now, this is what I've hammered at you for 26 years, and you really need to pay attention to this. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus has come in the flesh. This doesn't mean that they just say that Jesus is not the Son of God. It does mean that. But it also means that his fleshly sacrifice is not quite enough to save us. Yes, he was God's son. Yes, he died on the cross. Yes, he paid the price for our sins on the cross. But we have to do something else. If we're not baptized, if we aren't circumcised according to the Jews, if we don't come to church, if we don't take the Lord's Supper, if we don't do this and we don't do that, then we're going to go to hell in spite of the fact that we believe in Christ who died for us. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. It's the doctrine of antichrist. They may teach you that he's the Son of God, but if they teach you that his sacrifice wasn't enough, that man is an antichrist. Now, verse 8. I want you to really look at this. It's my prayer before Almighty God that you'll think about this. Look to yourselves. Okay, who's this for? Me and every one of you. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which you have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. If you leave this church and go to a church that teaches that open communion is all right, you're going to lose your reward. If you go to a church that teaches that baptism does not have to be by church authority, you're going to lose your reward. If you go to a church that teaches the church is not local and visible, but it's made up of all believers, you're going to lose your reward. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Do you want a full reward? Hebrews 11:1. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Don't you ever think for one moment about leaving this church and going to another church that teaches open communion, that the church is universal and visible, or that baptism is not by immersion by the authority of the church. If you leave here and go to Shiloh and Russellville, that's fine. If you go over to Victory, well, that's okay too, I guess. If you go over to Russell Church, that's okay too. But do not go to any church that does not teach the doctrine of meat. Now, meat is what determines how much of a reward you're going to receive. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. I am fanatical and frantic about telling you, do not have close fellowship with anybody who teaches the doctrine of Antichrist. And what is the doctrine of Antichrist? Now, I'm not talking about the doctrine of baptisms now, the doctrine of the Lord's Supper, any of those things. What I'm talking about is strictly the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is Jesus is God's only Son. The offering of his sinless flesh on a cross was sufficient to eternally save us. That's the doctrine of Christ. That's the milk of the gospel. The doctrine of Antichrist. He is not God's Son. That's a big R. His offering alone is not enough to save us. It doesn't mean you can't speak to them on the street. It doesn't mean you can't be kind and gentle toward them. It doesn't mean you can't be loving to them. But do not establish a close, personal, intimate relationship with them. You say, well, it's my relative. It's my grandmother. It's my friend. That's fine. That's your relative. You've got a blood relationship. But do not pay any attention to what they teach you or try to teach you. And if they bring up the subject, you tell them, no, that's wrong. I don't believe that. And if you've got enough gumption to study the Scriptures, tell them why you don't believe it. I guarantee you, after you tell them two or three times, they'll get convicted enough, they'll leave you alone. I understand that. But do not encourage them to come into your house and teach you this heresy. That's what the primary warning is about. And I feel obligated as your pastor to warn you about these things because we live in an age where they're doing that. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. You've got to have them both together. You can't have them separate. If you've got the Son, you've got them both. If you don't have the Son, you don't have either one of them. The doctrine of Christ, his sacrifice is enough. The doctrine of Antichrist, no, or almost. We're going to have one stanza of invitation. And I'm going to ask you this morning, do you believe the doctrine of Christ? Can you honestly say right now, my faith is totally and completely in Jesus Christ. I'm not trusting anything else. Well, I've got good news for you. As I've said many times, you can't save yourself and I can't save you and this church can't save you. Jesus did it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He made it white as snow. You come trusting Jesus this morning to save you, and he'll save you. You sit there and you don't want him to save you, don't worry. He's not going to force you to be saved. But if you are saved, Have you added to your faith the doctrine of virtue? Have you added to that faith the doctrine of knowledge? Have you added to that faith the doctrine of temperance? How about the doctrine of patience? How about the doctrine of godliness? How about the doctrine of brotherly kindness? How about the doctrine of charity? Are you adding those things to your faith? Are you sitting there sucking on milk, not wanting to make a commitment which involves meat? You have to make the choice. You have to make the decision. God's dealing with you. You come this morning. God will take care of whatever's necessary. What number, Darrell?